So allow me to ask this question. Here we are, 2 weeks away from Christmas Day, and with all of our technology and advances, are we any closer to peace on earth and goodwill toward all men than we were, let's say, about 2,000 years ago?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And the answer is simply no. We are no closer to peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And honestly, it's never truly going to happen on this planet. And I'll explain why on today's program, along with a number of other stories that I've been tracking over the past several days that I think you need to hear. Now, some of these stories may not even seem like they're attached to each other, but they really are. There's an interconnecting thread, or chain, really, through many of the stories that we see constantly in our news feeds and on our news channels. And then there are the stories you don't hear much about because the powers that be don't want you to know the full truth. Once you know the full truth, you can see through the lies. And that's one of the reasons that we do this radio program, Truth to Ponder. Now, also on the program today, I'm going to give you some health updates. Yes, this is a new program. I had surgery this past Tuesday and got some results on Thursday. And so a lot to share on the health front today. So stay tuned for that. So let's take a moment to think about this idea of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Yeah, it's a big deal as we get closer to Christmas. All the television specials, all the beautiful Christmas cards, the sentiment, the stories you find posted on Facebook, the Christmas miracles, and on it goes. And every year we go through this exercise of futility to talk about peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And by, the afternoon of the 25th, it's over. We're back to where things were. Even in World War I, there's that story about those fighting in the trenches in France, Germans and the Americans. And they had a temporary truce for just a short time on Christmas Eve that night, where they got out of their foxholes and got along and shared a little libation with each other, and then they were back at war the next day. So the truth is, it changed nothing. The war was still there. But it's a great story to share. And there's so many other the Christmas miracle stories that sound so wonderful, and Hallmark markets those things for money. In my lifetime, let's go back first to my grandparents' lifetime. They saw World War I. Then my father was born in the 1920s and lived growing up in the Depression era. And then by the time he's 17, he's heading off to war. World War II. Then you had Korea, Vietnam. And honestly, here in the United States, we have not won any wars since World War II. If you call what happened after World War II truly a victory, which I really don't think it was as much of a victory as we claimed it was. Go back to the early part of the 20th century, and one of the worst things that could have happened in this 100 and some odd years is how our technology, which is supposed to bring us peace on earth and great ways to live, has been used for killing and war. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be some kind of a peacenik here. I'm just being a realist and looking at what war really is. It's evil. It is based upon sin in most cases today, and there's a lot of money to be made in war. I mean, that's one of the problems, and even Dwight Eisenhower saw that as he left office in January of 1961 when he warned the American people to beware of the military-industrial complex. And he summed it up quite well. World War II created a monster that we had never anticipated. Not even World War I came close. We were ill-prepared to fight in any war overseas. when World War I rolled around, and we had to do our best. But after we came home from that war in 1918, people didn't really have a stomach for it. And yeah, it's nice to talk about the doughboys over there, but we really didn't want to be involved in wars on the other side of the globe. And so we were ill-prepared again when World War II came around. But this time we geared up production like this country had never seen. And I think that Eisenhower summed it up so well when he talked about, we converted our plows into swords. We changed our industry overnight. Instead of making cars, we're making tanks. Instead of airliners, we're making fighters. And we spent a fortune of money, tax money and debt. And many companies that were small companies grew vastly larger. And many companies you never heard of before that time came into being to feed the military industrial need. And some of those companies are still around today, still looking for more money and more ways to make money on warfare. As a little child, I can remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962. I was not that old, and I didn't fully understand, but I knew all of our neighbors were building bomb shelters, and we weren't. And my father's attitude was very simple. If there's really going to be a nuclear war, that shelter's not going to do you any good. And in retrospect, where we lived at the time, he was right. What good would it do? We had come to a point already by the 1950s and 60s of what is called MAD, M-A-D, MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction. And all we have done is add computerized artificial intelligence layers upon that concept. That the kind of warfare, if we ever got to that point of super hot war again, the world is over. It's done. It's gone. It's toast. Climate change will be meaningless. There'll be no world for a climate to change. And that fraud would be exposed for what it is. Peace on Earth, goodwill toward men. We're going to hear a lot about that for the next 2 weeks. Anytime you turn on your TV set, there's going to be some little story somewhere to give you a warm, nice, happy feeling about Christmas. And as fast as Christmas gets here, it'll be gone in a flash. The world is more unstable in its own right today than it was 2,000 years ago. It's more unstable today than it was, in 1941, when we're just a few days into being attacked at Pearl Harbor. We are at a precipice, and I don't think a lot of people can even see it. And the military-industrial complex is so demonic and so in love with its money, it doesn't see the damage that it causes and the misery that it leaves in its wake. And coupled with some satanic ideology that runs rampant in this world today, now laden with cash and weapons, it's going to be a tough time ahead. Then all you need to do is mix in some incompetence in Washington, D.C., and there's plenty to go around. Plenty to go around. And in Europe, and the globalists that hang out in places like Brussels that want to rule this planet with an iron fist, and they'll do anything in their power to get you out of their way. So let's just take a little moment to glance over history. I can remember, like I say, as a child, praying for Khrushchev. I mean, we were told as kids, and I went to a Christian school, to pray for those in authority. And I meant, for me, why not pray for those that want to kill you? Those that we are told want to do us in, or take us over, or take away our freedom or our nation. And as a young child, I'm praying. And we had I can remember living in Long Island, watching these strange aircraft flying over my home in the middle of Long Island. And these were the AWACS type of planes. This was all part of the Cold War. And we always wondered, when would that flash be seen in New York City? And when would it come to an end? Fallout shelters, I can remember the signs. I can remember seeing them everywhere. And yet somehow we just continued and continued on, and Christmas would come and go, and we'd sing the songs about peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and looking for Jesus' second coming, the babe coming as we remembered in Bethlehem, and we heard the story over and over again. And then Christmas morning, the gifts and the giving and the family stuff that we all retreated to for a little period of time that vanished as fast as it came. 1989, they consider that the death of the Soviet Union. And it was confirmed a little while later when Boris Yeltsin courageously stood down the Red Army in front of Moscow's White House, and this supposed dark era of human history came to an end. You know, the 77-year war against communism and the Soviet Union vanished. It had started about the same time as World War I in 1914. And so what was accomplished in that 77 years? 150 million people killed by the product of war. And you look at all the treaties and the things that have been done since then, they all sound good on paper, but they're insane. We have NATO. And the purpose of NATO died in 1991. The Soviet Union was gone, but no, the money needed to keep rolling in. The taxpayer money, the debt money needs to roll into the military-industrial complex. There are people in Brussels that need a new $10,000 hand-carved wood desk to plan their strategy for a war with the Soviet Union. And we need to get more weapons. I think the dumbest thing I heard not that many weeks ago came from United States Senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, who never met a war he didn't like, just like Nikki Haley. And he said, there's a good thing about the war in Ukraine. You know, we can get rid of all of our old weapons, and then we can buy ourselves new ones. New weapons. We're learning something else. A lot of the weapons we spent, untold billions on to go to Europe are worthless. They're garbage. They're not even that great. But we've been funding these overpriced projects for decades. And when you finally have to use some of this stuff, you find out it's junk. We're finding out that Russia's probably better equipped than we are. But boy, we spent the money to get there. 8% of the human race was wiped out by war during that period of time that the Soviet Union existed. And now that it's gone, what are we doing? We're stoking up more war any chance we can. Ukraine, the most unnecessary place to have a war. And I've got to say something, and I'm not bragging. Please don't think that I am. But a number of months ago, as I've been watching this Ukraine war emerge almost 2 years ago, something smelled wrong to me from day one. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew that something didn't feel right about Ukraine. We're being led down this primrose path of Zelensky good and Putin bad, and then we got to save freedom and democracy and all this other stuff that goes along with it. And everybody starts putting up the Ukrainian flag, you know, the blue and the gold, the blue skies and the gold wheat harvest. That's what it all stands for. And we're going to stand arm in arm with our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, a wonderful sovereign nation that never existed before 1991. Of course, ask your average college student that question. They didn't know. They knew nothing. They're ignorant of history by design, if you hadn't figured that out yet. What we learned in history 50 years ago, they don't teach anymore. Gender ideology and identity is big now, but not history. Good grief. We don't need to know something important. Ukraine, after it became a nation, became a very tempting place to go do some nefarious stuff. Ukraine, in its inception as a nation, was going to be a neutral nation. And it was going to be kind of like a no man's land, just awash in money. And it became the money laundering capital of the world. Corruption became its mainstay for business. And with all the money that they had running through there, they could buy the best politicians, not just in the United States, but globally. And NATO saw opportunity to expand itself and become bigger and get more taxpayer money, more funding. And all the companies like the General Dynamics of this world would, and Raytheon and others could see, ooh, oodles of cash if we can expand. And so the idea was, let's bring our weapons into Ukraine right on the Russian border. Let's even bring Ukraine into NATO, even though we agreed in 1991 that would never happen. Let's go ahead and break some treaties. Now, I've said this before, and I want to say it again so there's no misunderstanding. Listen to me carefully. I am no fan of Vladimir Putin. I really don't trust the guy, but I can understand a lot of what he does and why. Number one, during the impeachment hoaxes and everything else starting around 2015, you had Hillary Clinton running around saying Putin's interfering with the elections and he got Trump elected. Trump's an illegitimate president because Putin got him in there. And all we heard was Russian collusion. The collusion delusion just filled the airwaves of MSNBC, and they're all getting giddy, and they're actually getting pretty obscene with their giddiness about an impeachment and putting, you know, Trump in prison for trading, being a traitor and being a Putin puppet, and on it goes. And in spite of all the terrible things that Putin has done, he didn't do that. He didn't get Trump into office. Millions of dollars later, two phony impeachments later, the Mueller report, all of it proved that it was all a lie. And nobody to this day has been held accountable, which is why this nation, the United States, will disintegrate in time. If it cannot be corrected, there is no justice, we will go under. If you can't see that, you need to. We are in debt, and we're piling debt upon debt, devaluing the money you have. Our churches are becoming increasingly woke and impotent. And too many people that claim the name of Christ are too lazy to get their fannies out of bed and even go anymore. Oh, it's raining today. Oh, my toe aches. Yeah, but you'll make it to the Christmas tree lighting or Walmart or something else. But you can't make it to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords anymore. It's just too much trouble. That's why we have no peace on earth. The formerly Christian Western world has gone apostate. It has gone Antichrist. It has gone enemy of the cross. It has gone phony and fraudulent. The Biden administration is a classic example. It is an Antichrist, anti-Christian administration, yet they claim to be good Catholics or whatever. And I'm not picking on Catholics. It doesn't matter. It could be any faith background. It could have been Methodist. It could have been Presbyterian. Doesn't matter. They use the name fraudulently. and they try to pretend that they're part of the kingdom. Yeah, they're part of the kingdom of hell. And I say that not in a judgmental way. It's just by the fruits of their labor and the things that they do. It's obvious. The freak show in the White House? Come on. No person of moral decency would hire any of those clowns to be in charge of anything important. And yet the reprobate mind is what is running our nation today. And it shows up not in just one party, but both political parties. There are plenty of reprobates in the GOP. If you hadn't figured that out, it's all a game. It's all a game. And you and I are the ones funding it. The war in Ukraine, I was mentioning before, you know, we were talking about this quite a while ago, saying there's something that smelled wrong about this war. And everybody kept saying, just send more money, and you know, Zelensky will beat Putin. Whoa, yeah. And anybody, I'm sorry, but that was the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard, which shows how ill-informed too many people are today in the, you know, YouTube culture, or getting their news and information from Google, another satanically run corporation. Yeah, do no harm, wrong. They're harming everything they touch. And they're reading your mail if you have a Gmail account, just in case you didn't know. Or if you have a Google Documents folder, they can read everything you got. I'll talk about the cloud in a couple of minutes, a story that came to mind. But you understand where we really are. The military-industrial complex are hand-in-hand with the globalists, who are basically agents of satanic forces that are at war with Christ and all that Christ stands for and the church. And they've done an excellent job in my lifetime of decimating the church from the inside out, gutting it like a cancer, just destroying it, anything that's in its path. When you have men dressed as women acting very sexually immoral in front of little children inside of churches, you know the church in America is pretty much dead. Or the ones that used to be alive, they're dead. And yet we talk about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. What a lie. We're believing a lie. There's going to be no peace on this earth. There is no goodwill toward men anymore. And it gets worse and worse every day. And I've watched the disintegration before my very eyes. I was looking, somebody shared with me, and I mean, and look, I know what I understand this, because when you are pastoring a small startup church, it is not easy. You get a few people to come out to start with, and then one by one, many of them disappear with a bunch of phony, weird reasons. I think it's just laziness, or they're not being made happy about themselves. Well, if you're coming to my church, where I'm the pastor, to feel good about yourself, you're coming to the wrong church. We don't have an entertainment venue going with a little pep talk on the side of Jesus. I don't do that. And if that's what you want, there are plenty of those organizations out there. But you're not going to find salvation in those organizations. And you're going to find out you keep coming up empty over and over again. Because what they are giving you is temporal, not eternal. Feelings are fleeting. And so here we are, 2 weeks away from Christmas Day. And by 2 weeks from tomorrow, people will be throwing those Christmas trees out as fast as they can rip them down, and getting ready for the next thing that Walmart tells you you got to do. And we will totally lose sight of the 12 days of Christmas, what it was supposed to mean, how it was supposed to be celebrated. All of that has been taken away and co-opted by a secular and oftentimes satanic world. I've got some other stories to share, and I don't want to sound so disappointing. But I'll finish up this thought on Ukraine. We told you that Ukraine could never win that war. anybody that thought they could was delusional. And right now, what you're seeing in the media is the beginning of the shift toward, we can't fund this no more. Oh, they'll try to fund it. They'll throw some more money at it because the military-industrial complex, you know, it sucks up money like a Hoover vacuum cleaner or an Oreck or whatever the most powerful vacuum on the market is. It loves your money. And when that war falls apart, they'll leave destruction in its path, and then we get to spend more money rebuilding what was needlessly destroyed, and the corruption will continue unabated. And the war will move somewhere else. There'll be another front, maybe in the Middle East, maybe somewhere in Africa. Who knows? South America, it doesn't make any difference. Wherever they can gin up a war. Look, you've already got North Korea talking about heating up the war again after 60, 70 years with South Korea. They love their war. And when there's no war, they're miserable. Without Jesus Christ, there can be no peace. And the world has turned its back on the King of Kings. That babe in Bethlehem came to redeem us, not to enrich us, not to make us feel good about ourselves. All right, got a break coming up in a couple of minutes, so let me go ahead and quickly share with you a few thoughts. First, health update. Last week, I had surgery, probably the longest one. I didn't know they were going to be that long. And man, I got home that night and I was flat out exhausted. I had been under for 3.5-4 hours, something like that. And the doctor had spent all that time just double and triple and quadruple checking every inch of my bladder and removed anything that even could possibly be cancer. And it has its, afterward, it, you know, I had to have a catheter for a few days, and I was just miserable and tired and on medications that made me just drowsy and feel rotten. But here I am recording a program, and I'm back at my church. And we are now in this phase of trying to do a little healing from the surgery. And it takes a while, believe me, before I feel more comfortable and normal. But I'm going to do my best to function throughout this. I will tell you that after the first of the year, I'll be going through 6 weeks of what is called immunotherapy. And I'm not sure how that's going to affect me. I just don't at this stage of the game. From what I'm reading, it shouldn't be all that bad in terms of knocking me out or something. I think 2 days a week of my life's going to be pretty much, or 2.5 days, because we need to go up the night before because of the distance. And then we get back, and then the day after, it's going to take a while to, you know, get back to being functional. And then I have a church service like, you know, 2 days. I mean, this will be on a Thursday, these treatments. And so I've got to try to get myself back by Saturday so I can be at the church to be the pastor on Sunday. And then I've still got the radio programs to do Monday through Friday. So I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but we are just praying that we can get it all done. And we are praying that this immunotherapy may be just what is needed. It's been around for about 40 years, and it has a pretty good success rate, pretty high. And so I'm very encouraged that it might be just what we need. The latest pathology report that came out was extremely encouraging. Because, see, the one thing you worry about with this kind of cancer, is it localized and staying in the bladder, or is it beginning to try to break out? And with all the extensive, like he's never done before, culturing and everything, there is no evidence that it has done any of that. It has stayed contained. And so this gives us hope. And I want to thank you for your prayers. Now, I've got a lot I want to finish up a few thoughts about peace on earth and then move into some other stories that pretty much reflect the evil age in which we live and why we do what we do. And why I need you to stand with me at this time. There's a lot going on in the background. There are places that I need to be church-wise after the first of the year in trying to develop congregations and small church bodies. You know, the church that we used to know of the big monstrous buildings and the pipe organs and the stained glass windows, they're fading away because people just don't care. Their life and their job is far more important. Their commitment to Christ, the great falling away is well underway. And I think the church is going to end up being smaller, but wiser, smaller, but more effective. There are times somebody will say, well, Bob, your church is so tiny and you lost some people. Well, you want to know something? It bothered me when I lost some people that I woke up one morning and God laid it on my heart. Something an old Baptist preacher told me years ago. Only God can add by subtraction. And it makes sense. If people are coming to church to feel good about themselves and what they can get and not what they're supposed to give, they're not a part of the body. They are becoming a problem. And sometimes we spend so much of our time trying to coddle people to stay instead of encouraging them to get right with God or move out of the way. And that's where we are today at our little church in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. We're small, but I feel something happening in the background that it's going to be okay. And there are people yet to come, but you need to make sure that what we're doing is what God would have us to do. And then I think about this radio program and shortwave and the impact it can have. And I really believe that shortwave radio is becoming increasingly important again. Even though many have abandoned it, many stations have gone off the air. And we lost one station this year that tragically had to go off the air because they had lost their ability to, well, the power bill in California was outrageous. And then the site was becoming too valuable for real estate purposes. And they came to one of the hardest decisions they ever had to make. And that was to pull the plug and dismantle because they just simply couldn't afford to operate. That was KVOH. And now we are on WTWW. And I'm hoping as long as the income is there, we're going to stay. I'm trying to work with other ministries that are looking for shortwave to fill up some time blocks so that station can be sustained. And of course, you keep us on the air on WTWW and our flagship station, WRMI, with your prayers and financial support. So I'm going to come to you right now and say, here we are. Do you believe in the mission and ministry of Truth to Ponder and what we're trying to do? Look, I know I can't please everybody. And when it comes to politics, you know, there's no way. We are all set in our ways. But when I talk about these greater issues, you can't deny that we're wrong on these issues. We can forget the personalities, but we put them aside. There are some issues like the war in Ukraine. You know that come next year we're out of it, and there'll be a peace settlement, and then we'll move on to something else. I told you that would happen a year ago, and here we are. The media is finally catching up. The stories are coming out, and this is when you see it on MSNBC and Fox News and everybody. When they're all agreeing, you know that the globalists have decided that war is going nowhere and it's not making enough money. When the people in the Ukrainian army are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, not their teens, 20s, and 30s, you know you're in trouble. If you believe in what we do, would you consider visiting our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. We use Give, Send, Go. If you look for the menu, you can find a tab for support. There's not a big button that says donate now. You got to kind of look for it. Give, Send, Go has been a marvelous outfit to deal with. I've had no trouble with them at all in our relationship. I had in the past with PayPal. That's why we don't use them. Or if you prefer, you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia. Zip code 24319. The website address, Truth. The numeral 2. Truth2ponder.com. And look for the tab on the menu for support. It'll give you the mailing address and how to use GiveSendGo. Or if you don't use the internet, you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. That's 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Freedom Fighters coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, Hanukkah. It means the Feast of Dedication. It's also called the Festival of Lights. It's happening right around this time. The Festival of Freedom, it's also called. Why freedom? Well, because an ungodly man, Antiochus Epiphanes, tried to stamp out faith in God. He made it illegal. Illegal to keep the Sabbath, to learn God's word, to follow God's commandments. The first documented full-scale religious persecution in history, and it seemed as if he was going to succeed. Except that a group of those who sought to be faithful to God rose up against it. It took faith, it took courage, it took risk. They risked their lives. They put themselves in danger. They counted everything as loss, but they deemed it more important to live in freedom for God than to hold on to anything else. And that life without freedom in God was not worth living. And that faith and courage in God's power, with that, they won the fight. They gained freedom. Well, God has also called you to freedom, but freedom means a fight. If you're truly going to know freedom in your life, you have to fight. You want to overcome that bondage? You got to fight. You want to be free of that sin? You got to fight. Good. Are you willing to fight for it? Are you serious about it? Are you serious about the victory of freedom? And are you willing to sacrifice for that victory? Are you willing to go all out? Well, if so, then good, because God will give you strength. God will be your God and your power. You see, God didn't call you to slavery, but to freedom. So don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Freedom requires a fight, the good fight. So fight, my friend, because God has called you, my friend, to be a freedom fighter. Want more? Well, listen, have your pen ready? And what if I offered you $1 million? Well, something better than $1 million, something that'll help you give you a strong and victorious life in God, a free subscription to Sapphires, vitamins for your spirit, and the incredible Mystery of the Temple doors, all free. You'll love it. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus is real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. So just call 1-800-YESHUA-1 to receive your free gifts. You will be blessed, but call now. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now the harvest is great. The laborers are few. I invite you to join me in the harvest. You don't need a plow, just an open heart and a pen, and you can reach the unreached peoples of the world, and it's incredible. Through Shortwave Radio, it's amazing. It's the farthest way you could ever, ever touch the world. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. So write to the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi. L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi. L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Ben Elohim, the Son of God, and the one who has called you to set you free and to walk free and never be a slave again. Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Monday, 2 weeks before Christmas Day. Hard to believe in 2 weeks. Getting ready at our church for Christmas. And the other day, I found some of these little candles for a candlelight service for Christmas Eve. I'm trying to bring back to our little church some of the traditions that we have lost at Christmas time. One of the things that really stood out to me in recent years was the number of churches that no longer even open up at all for Christmas. They just don't. And I can remember as a child, yeah, I went to church on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It was, you weren't getting out of both. You went to both. It was something that was expected. And I never argued about it. In fact, it was a part of what Christmas is all about in my youth. Christmas Eve went a little bit late into the night. Sometimes I was involved because as a young child, believe it or not, I had a boy soprano voice, and I sang in more than one place. And I really, it was so much a part of who I was, those cold nights, singing those beautiful descants and those wonderful Christmas carols and anthems. And then Christmas Day, we would get up early on Christmas morning. And yeah, we would open up our gifts, and then we would get dressed up and head off to church to celebrate the birth of Christ. And now churches are too stinking lazy. No, we're not going to do that. I mean, it's a family time. Well, when is it church time, for crying out loud? I mean, when churches cut their services short for Super Bowl Sunday, then you know where their priorities are. It is not in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's in the NFL. And I'm, for one, I'm getting tired of it. And I'm getting cranky. You know, one of the things that when you face a health crisis, it makes you think, what is really important in life? It's certainly not the garbage that many of the churches today are bowing down to. And when you wake up to the fact that this life on this planet has an expiration date, sometimes you begin to look at the world a little differently. And I know for me, even if God grants me 20 or 30 more years on this planet, I will never take my life for granted or the work of His church and His kingdom. It comes first. Politics will come second. If you want to argue politics with me, you're wasting your time. You know, I will vote, and let me, I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. I've got other stuff I need to talk about today. When it comes to politics, when you're voting for somebody in office, I don't care if it's the local sheriff or your mayor or your city council or commissions, your county commissions and councils, parish and councils, doesn't make any difference. You vote for somebody that can do the job. And you're probably not going to find somebody that aligns with you on everything. And when it comes to even statewide politics and national politics, same thing. You're probably not going to find somebody that shares 100% your view of the Christian faith. And that's just a given. And so don't retreat, well, this guy doesn't think exactly like I do, so I can't vote for him. Well, then you're going to get what you deserve. We're told to vote for people that are capable of doing the job, which is a secular job. And I always have this standard, and I know it upsets people. You know, I am not voting for the head pastor of a church. I'm voting for a governor or a mayor or even a president. I'm voting for somebody to fulfill an office, a job, a responsibility. I don't ask my plumber, what church do you go to? I want to know, can you fix the plumbing problem? And maybe we need to look at it that way, like the Bible has taught. Yeah, it does teach that. If you didn't know, maybe you need to spend some more time in it. What I look for in a candidate, sure, I'd like to get somebody that is closest to my views as possible, but that's not going to happen all the time. Understand that. Coming out of the starting gate, I need somebody that can do the job. Somebody that's not afraid to do the job. And one of the things that I look for is somebody that will not be attacking my faith, me, or my church. In other words, there are some candidates out there, like a Kathy Hochul in New York, who's a danger and a threat to a Christian church. She's an absolute threat. And so is Biden. And so is Brickster up in Illinois. And I can go down the whole list of these credences that are in government that are a threat to your freedom of speech, the Constitution, your right to worship as you please. that are going to force an ideology that is an Antichrist ideology down your throat with the threat of jail. And so I may not be getting somebody that agrees with me completely, but he's not a threat to me either, or she. And so go from that standpoint. Who poses the least threat to you, your faith, your family, your occupation, your property, your constitutionally given rights, which are really rights from God? They may not believe the way you do on some things, but that's really the test you have to go with. So enough of that. I got to move on. You know, you look at some of the weirdness in the world today, and it defies logic. And this happened up in Canada, in Ontario, about a week or so ago. There's a perversity going on in the East Bayfield Community Center in Barrie, Ontario. And this kind of shows the insanity that we're living with today. There's a guy by the name of Nicholas Cepeda, who allegedly transitioned several years ago, and way after puberty, I might add. The guy is 50 years of age, 50 years old, and he identifies as a female teenager. And let me say that again. This is happening in Ontario, in the Ontario province in Canada, which doesn't surprise me, unfortunately. Nicholas Cepeda is, you know, transitioned and now claims he's a teenage girl. And so what do they do in Canada? Instead of getting him mental health, which is what he really needs, Nicholas needs mental health care. You know, his name is not Melody Wisehart, which is what he goes by now. My name is Melody Wisehart, not Nicholas Cepeda. And, you know, so he wants to be able to swim and change with the teenage girls. A 50-year-old biological man who has not been, shall we say, surgically altered, but he wants to get naked in front of 13-year-old girls. And guess what? The Barrie Trojan Swim Club in Swim Ontario, they seem fine with this, and they're accommodating this 50-year-old man to undress and hang out with little young girls, barely adolescent girls. I'm telling you, this is the type of thing being mainstreamed everywhere. And it's all a perversion. It is all evil. There is nothing good about it. It's nothing normal about it. I'm telling you in the most emphatic way that I possibly can. Listen to me. This sexual confusion, it ends up doing several things. Number one, it has people, you know, butchering their bodies needlessly because they've been deceived into believing a lie. They're not getting the help they need. You know, you got the American Psychiatric Association. They're all on board now. The bodies are, it could be all wrong. We need to accommodate and do all this stuff. We need all that medicine to destroy their with hormones. There's billions of dollars to be made from the healthcare industry in this, friends. And Satan laughs. He laughs as he watches you destroy yourselves in ways he couldn't make you do before. And as our society crumbles and rots from the inside out, and we have actual politicians thinking this is a good idea, they are reprobates, they are disgusting, and they will all, unrepentant, will end up in hell, every one of them. And the destruction they're doing to our children, with our public schools, that have become, you know, where they, you have these, we are training up teachers in these disgusting colleges who come out there with their face piercings, and they're looking with these evil satanic eyes trying to decide which preschooler is gay or which one is in the wrong body. This is what is important. And you wonder why I worry about the public school system. And there, like I said, you have up in Canada, they're accommodating this. And if you are the one that says anything bad about it, you're the evil one for saying, I don't want a 50-year-old man showing his male apparatus to my 13-year-old granddaughter. You're the bad person. And then they have us all worrying about the climate hoax. A means to facilitate, you know, the greatest crime against humanity, this carbon net zero, will really kill half the global population if they ever get their way. And this becomes enslavement for those of us who remain, which has been the plan. And all the elites get in their fuel-guzzling private jets and fly all over the world to the most exotic places to discuss climate change. You know, John Kerry, another reprobate, another true phony Catholic reprobate. He should be excommunicated from that church for the things that he believes that are just nothing but antichrist theology. Remember, it was John Kerry back in 2009 that reminded us, and don't ever forget, that all the polar ice caps would be gone by 2014. That's 9 years ago. Didn't happen. All of their predictions are fake. And they make them, and they get news coverage, and people believe the lie. And then when it doesn't happen, they just pretend they never said it. And they come up with a new lie. And we believe it, and believe it some more. I'm going to say this, if you've never heard me say this, maybe you're a new listener, and you're listening on WTWW. And if you are, by the way, let me know. When you think of all of this climate change doctrine that is being pushed, transgenderism that is being pushed upon us, and you think of women's health care, which is just the code word for kill babies in the womb, infanticide. Well, isn't it a woman's right to choose? Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about this very carefully. Ancient paganism has its roots in true demonic satanic worship. Ancient paganism is Satanism, period. I can do a whole program on that from a theological point of view, but just go with me on this, that all of the ancient pagan religions are based in some satanic demon, and there were a number of them out there being worshipped as deities. Go to the Amazon jungle. They would sacrifice on top of these big monstrous altars people to change the climate. Sound familiar? Climate change. We can fix the earth by killing somebody and ripping their heart out. Moloch, satanic god, promised his followers, to worship me, you can dance and enjoy and have a party, but all I want from you is your worship, and I want your firstborn to be sacrificed to me. I want you to kill your newborn baby. And the way I want you to kill your newborn baby is I am a god made out of bronze and iron. And they stoke up a fire and they put the child in the hot burning hands of this evil god. And it burns to death. And it's just a very evil and painful death. And all the people are singing and dancing to drown out the sounds of the scream of these burning infants. Today's technology, we no longer hear the screams as these children are dismantled in the womb. That's how evil we've become. So abortion serves it's the sacrament of the god of Moloch. Gaia worship, the planet. Yeah, that's climate change. All of these, and by the way, the goddess Ishtar could change a man into a woman and a woman into a man. You see, this is just recycled paganism. But it comes under the cloud now of science. Follow the science. The science has been co-opted by demons and devils, and it's time for some exorcisms. Yeah, the climate change hoax is alive and well. And then they'll do anything for control. Remember COVID-19? We're now beginning to see that we've known that this was a... We said it on this radio program, and we got knocked off of YouTube and everywhere for quite a while. When I said this was a man-made virus in a lab, and it was involved with University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Peter Daszak and the EcoHealth Alliance, we talked about it. And there's the evidence going back to 2015 and before that all of this was in the works for years and years and years before we ever heard of the word COVID-19. And the idea of mRNA vaccines was on the drawing boards in the 1990s, and it had always been a dismal failure. This is a premeditated plan of terrorism, collusion, coercion, and I really believe in murder. I believe people died needlessly. These are felonies, no matter where you live in this world. And until we have people accountable, if we never hold them accountable, it's going to happen again. I'm just warning you. We do this radio program every day, and I'm glad to be back. Like I say, today I just wanted to share with you where things are at. Like I say, on the health front, things are stable at the moment and may be stable for many years to come. Continue your prayers. But right now, I am looking at how we continue this radio program and grow it and reach more people, not just with the news that you may miss from your news sources, but with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why I need your help. I need your help today more than ever before. I still believe in shortwave, and we've got so many other opportunities. I'm working with my church on how do we develop an educational program that parents can use to get their children out of these indoctrination centers that are run by Satan now, that we call the public schools. That is burning on my heart. And I need this radio program to continue to bring more people into that fold as well. Would you consider, maybe for the first time, giving us your support? Two ways to do it. Number one, you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. 24319. Or you can support us from our website, which is Truth, the number 2ponder.com. Truth, and you use the numeral 2, truth2ponder.com. On the menu, there's a tab that says support. You can find out everything from there. We use GiveSendGo, a Christian online organization. Or once again, the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, Truth, the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's Truth, the number 2, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.